Hey, this is Taylor
and RJ from the band Chemical Fire.
And you are listening to The Itch. Scratch that itch.
Give it a scratchy.
This is your number one station, your official station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Aaron. And this week, we are scratching The Itch to talk about some movies, or more specifically, to listen to some guys quote some movies. Two observations here. We didn't do a Rex Manning Day episode this year, which is a fun, weird little tradition we made up. We kind of skipped it this year, but I feel like this kind of scratches that itch, as it were, with our guests, because they are movie lovers, and they quote movies to each other, and to us, and probably to anybody who's listening at any given time, all the time. We had Taylor Carroll and RJ Hale of Chemical Fire, some of our pals, back for the second time, and it was a blast.
And we quickly found out what their favorite movie was, and we also organized a watch party.
Yes! I'm 100% in on this idea, which you'll find out more about in the conversation, that it needs to happen.
Yes.
So a couple more notes I want to draw attention to. So this episode is a little bit special. It's fun anyway. They were our guests for episode 150, which was right about exactly a year ago. And now they are guests for the episode number isn't special, but it's the 4-year anniversary of the podcast. And I thought they were a cool guest to have on for that particular anniversary. So I was really excited that we could get those guys back with us.
Agreed.
Yeah. And it was just another fun conversation with the both of them. They have so much energy. They are such a blast, and I just can't wait to see them perform live again. Whether it's, you know, with Lit, Hailstorm, or Chemical Fire, they're just both amazing artists in their own right, and I can't wait to just, you know, to just see that.
Yeah, I mean, and we just have so much fun talking with those guys. Actually, a challenge for the listeners out there. Count how many questions we ask Chemical Fire, because I think it's under 3.
That was the thing I was gonna note. Most of the time, we call it a conversation. Most of the time, we are in some capacity interviewing artists. We don't interview Chemical Fire. We let them into the Zoom room, and then we just let things happen. Which mostly is just them enjoying each other's company. It's really what I've gathered.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, with most interviews, they go off the rail. With these guys, they start off the rail.
You don't get on the rail to begin with, exactly. That's exactly it.
But honestly, we love it that way.
Yes.
Oh, it's fine. It's a blast. Like I said, they're so much fun.
I will say, like, for me, this was an awkward beginning because, like, you know, somebody that does interview, like I want to get into the questions, and it's not that we, you know, that they were like preventing us from doing that. That definitely was not the case by any means. Right. We were just having such a blast enjoying the conversation, you know, that it is that the questions kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't even get to talk about their new single. We brought it up at the very end. I'm just going to spoil that right now. Their new single is called The Drop. It actually came out a month or two ago as of this release, but still the newest release so far. Second track in a year's time. And they have promised to pick up the pace. So those of you who are fans will be excited to hear that. And we're excited. We get it. They've got a lot of other musical jobs. And this, as much as they love it, is currently more side project, but maybe not for long.
Yeah, we actually got to learn about an additional job that Taylor has taken on, producer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's just, and like hearing the stories about that, like, he's just crazy. He's a workaholic, obviously, just always thinking about music, working with music, producing music, making music, playing music. Like, the dude is 24/7.
You know what, though? They still make time to take care of themselves. RJ, probably the best smelling man in rock. Check him. Go look into him. He's got himself a fun little YouTube channel where he's testing out colognes. And Taylor still gets himself to the gym, despite pretty much living in the studio, recording music all the time.
Yeah.
So good on them. And they have healthy relationships with each other and their significant others and their families. These guys are doing it all. Whatever energy drink their pound, and they need to be sponsored by it because it's working.
I don't think Taylor needs Starbucks ever. Much less a venti Starbucks. No, but what's awesome about these guys is, as busy as they are, they really enjoy chatting with us, and that is an honor, to be honest. So,
agreed.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Something very noteworthy that they said in this conversation is that you remember the people who support you when you're first starting out. And I have heard plenty of other people say that same sentiment. Eva said that before. I've heard the guys from Ashes to New express that sentiment about their kind of, you know, day ones. Like, you don't forget those people. They're there for very important, pivotal moments in your growth. And that's special. And we've got some artists that are like that for us.
Yeah.
That we'll kind of always have a soft spot for. And I think these guys are among them. And we're very happy to be kind of part of that crew for them too.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Agreed. And that's just, I mean, that's like the ultimate honor, really. It's because we love doing this. We do this out of the absolute joy of music that we get. And because it means so much to every one of us, you know, that's why we put our hearts and souls into this. And so for somebody to understand that and kind of see that, and then, you know, I guess reciprocate that as
yeah.
well,
mm-hmm. yeah.
is just amazing.
Exactly. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with RJ Hale and Taylor Carroll of Chemical Fire.
Hey. Oh, my cover's over.
Yep.
Hey. What's happening, y'all?
Not much.
Hello.
I was just on the phone with Taylor. He just hung up with me. I hope he's logging on.
Yeah.
My settings. How is my mic sounding to you guys?
Pretty good.
I'm using the good mic, so it sounds a little bit better.
All right.
Thanks for doing this, you guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Are you in a closet right now?
Yes.
Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those make the best audio studios, you know, when you got all that good sound. Oh, look.
Hello.
Yo.
Thanks for running errands with me today.
Taylor's in his car closet.
Yeah. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but thanks for coming along.
There was some miscommunication. We thought that maybe this was postponed or something because we were in a text log with our one of our publicists, and we were talking about getting a contact for someone else, and she was like, we're still waiting to get the email, but I guess Taylor thought that meant for this, and it got a little confusing, but we're here.
Yes.
Yeah. We worked it out.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, and I'm so thankful that you guys showed up to our Nashville show. So once again, thanks for that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Thank sure. you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And we get to see some beautiful scenery behind Taylor there.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You ready to see a Starbucks?
Is it a beautiful California day? Because we're not having one of those here.
Yeah, you know, RJ, you're making me not want to move back to Nashville when you talk like that.
No, I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's okay. May 1st, I'm coming back.
No, yeah, 350 till golden brown. I got it.
I know. Hey, have you guys ever seen Jingle All the Way?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well.
Every year.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering, because RJ and I, if we start like going off and going, I know, 8 to 11 minutes until golden brown, you deserve it.
Power.
Then that's you know what we're talking about, yeah.
Well, why not? Spread some Christmas cheer.
Holiday cheer.
When you guys were here last year, I went back and listened to the interview, and I didn't catch it in the moment, but in going back, I was like, RJ made like six different movie references
in this conversation.
Yep.
He was quoting all kinds of stuff and I didn't catch it at the time. So
little Easter eggs in there. Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. All over the place.
This is why, dear viewers, you must listen to this multiple times to really catch everything, because we're throwing all kinds of stuff at you.
Exactly. Right.
And it's also why, dear viewers, you must watch all these movies if you haven't seen them, because they will change your life.
I have a mission to get Jingle All the Way into like the upper echelon of Christmas movies.
That's right. That's up.
I don't know how it'll happen, but it's everything Sinbad should be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a problem, officer? Woo!
You too, Barnaby Jones.
You too, Barnaby Jones.
The go-to movie for Taylor and I is What About Bob with Bill Murray.
True.
Awesome.
Great movie.
You know, we've been talking about this, I think, with a lot of, you know, Chemical Fire lovers, the Fire fam, you guys, we should all have this like huge like viewing of What About Bob, like a big screen. I don't know, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you know, a lot of bands do like listening parties when they release a new album. We're like, yes. Fuck that, we're just gonna watch What About Bob.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. It's a two-night extravaganza. Yeah, they it's do a Chemical party. Fire concert and then a What About Bob party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, can we do that? Like, don't even tempt me with a good time.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Hey, as if I needed this.
Yeah.
You need more caffeine, Taylor.
Come around St. Louis or Chicago. We'll find a venue that can do both of those things.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I will hunt that down for y'all.
That would be great.
Dude, it just so happens that we might be making our way up to that area soon, or around that area. We could actually probably hit that area.
Actually,
do
I don't
what
think...
about Bob viewing and yeah. a Chemical Fire show. I'm not even kidding. RJ, he'd be all about it.
Let's make it. Well, you know what? A lot of bands that they like to have like opening acts like to support them. We're just going to have opening
I
movie.
See where you're going.
Opening movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Opening movie.
That works.
Just to get everybody in the good mood, you know?
You have to encourage the pit. Somebody open up the pit in the middle of What About Bob. I don't know how it'll work, but you have to make it happen.
Yeah, it's the scene where he goes, Bob, where'd you put the bags? In the house. And then he goes, and then all of a sudden, there's a pit starts.
When the house explodes, huge mosh pit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It'll also be good for our continuing message of mental health awareness. So.
Yeah. Or when Bob goes off, you know, it's extremely rare. You know what I mean? He starts going off in the office. Then all of a sudden, the kid starts.
Yeah. Yeah, we should actually make a remix of that, RJ. What do you think?
Yeah. We should probably sample that in one of the songs at some point.
That's a great idea. You're going to love this. You guys, in case you haven't been out to LA and tried a restaurant called Claudine's, I am taking my sister there today. It's got Nashville hot chicken that is better than any Nashville hot chicken I've ever had personally.
All right.
Oh.
So if you're into that sort of thing, ask RJ. He'll tell you. It's pretty good.
Yeah, to be fair, full transparency, we're fully sponsored by Claudine's and they pay us every time that we do that.
RJ, shh, don't tell them.
That was the secret part. Sorry.
That you mentioned Nashville chicken, because when we were on the way down to Nashville, we wanted some really good Nashville chicken, so we didn't know who to reach out to. We had never been to Nashville. Oh. And thankfully, Scott Stevens was kind enough to direct us to Hattie B's, and we had an excellent meal from Hattie B's.
It's pretty famous out here.
Yeah.
Good on Scott for taking you guys to Hattie B's, man. That's a good choice.
He directed us to Hattie B's.
Yeah.
Good suggestion, Scott, if you're watching.
He did well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know if Scott's even tried Claudine's. Do you think he's tried it, RJ? Are we taking him?
I don't know if he came out with us the day after the LA show. I think he's working. He's busy. He's a busy guy. He doesn't make it out to the Valley very often, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I went out for one night, back to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That dude is a workhorse. It's truly astonishing.
As a producer, I mean, I do not have the success that Mr. Scott Stevens has, but as a producer myself, dude, I know what it's like to just go. I mean, dude, that stuff never ends, because then once you turn something in, somebody needs the files, somebody needs an instrumental, you got to do it, or else you're going to piss everybody off. You have to do it right away. Well, it's just part of the job. And so you're always consumed. Maybe they'll come up with like an AI thing that like, hey, print an instrumental, and then it prints, and then it sends off. You know what I mean? Like, but right now they don't.
Yeah, get on it, Pro Tools.
Yeah, dude.
I have questions about that for sure. that exact topic we'll have to get into here in a minute.
About Pro Tools?
No.
No. About producer life for you. I don't want to talk about AI. I'm...
Yes, Pro Tools dies all the time. It always stops.
Yeah, Taylor is, well, you know, Taylor, you're too modest. He's absolutely killing it in the producing world. While I'm busy doing Hailstorm stuff and making records and stuff like that, and when he's not doing Lit, he's producing albums constantly, and he's absolutely slaying it right now.
Yeah.
RJ, thank you, buddy, but let's not kid ourselves. I'm just locking myself in a pitch dark room all day making music. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's very sweet of you, RJ.
I feel very lucky that I'm in a band with such an incredible producer.
Likewise. But you know what? I know we're obsessed with being in a band with each other. RJ is the best creative partner that you could ever ask for. And it's not like he's funny or positive or anything. So makes it even easier.
Yeah, I bring the dark cloud into the mix, right?
Oh, yes, you do. It's such a dark cloud of fragrances, but it's very positive.
But if I could toot Taylor's horn for a little bit, I love working with Taylor because he has such an analytical mind when it comes to sounds. So when I pitch him a song idea, I can throw him something, but he's also a songwriter and a you know, multi-instrumentalist. So he's so good at taking some raw idea that I pitch at him, and he's like, I know exactly what to do with this. I know how to finish it up, polish it off, make it sound like a finished record, you know?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, buddy. Go. That means a lot to me, Arj. It's very easy to ride with RJ because we don't have a formula. We're always open to trying new things. And sometimes RJ will bring me literally just, you know, if we don't start with a hook or anything, he'll just bring me a drum beat. And then I'll write some guitar stuff over. I'll be like, damn, dude, this is a lot of intricate moving parts here.
Yeah.
And so we have to rehearse the song 1,000 times over before we ever play it live. But it's always really fun to write new songs with RJ because he never says, no, I don't want to try that. You know, it's always
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Taylor's always kind of like my other half of my brain, where if I'm in a creative space, he can be in a technical space and he'll know how to take something that I've thrown pop songs at you, because I think, like, to my core, I feel like I'm kind of a natural pop songwriter rather than a rock songwriter. And luckily, yeah. Taylor, being so entrenched in rock producing, knows how to take some any genre song that I throw at him and turn it into a heavy rip your face off Chemical Fire song. And that's why I find him so valuable as a creative partner.
So I'm kind of curious, because like, you guys obviously are very passionate about writing music together. So the one thing I'm kind of curious about is, what's that like when you have so much fun writing the music, but you're not really being able to release it? I mean, you've released like 2 songs in the last 2 years. So I'm just curious.
1 year, but yeah.
That's gonna change very soon. We have a lot of songs on deck that we've worked on for the last few years, and we go back and listen to them sometimes, like recently, and we're just thinking, wow, like, how did we think of that? That's really random. And it's one of those things, like, we've wanted to do everything the exact right, slow way. And sometimes it can get a little bit, like, you know, costly on our minds. Like, we're like, oh man, we should have released this 6 months ago. But at the same time, like, I think we're about to start rolling out everything, you know, like one by one, or we're going to, you know, finally kind of shop around. It was just a matter of, you know, number one, scheduling, and number two, we don't want to release too many things at once, so that, you know, if we can't play shows like we want to right away, like, we don't want to get too much out there. But we're about to start trickling down a single after a single. That's pretty much the plan, because we do want people to hear, you know, a lot of other stuff that we've been working on, and we're really excited to get it out there.
It requires a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Everything takes a long time, especially in this post COVID world. What used to take 3 days now takes 3 weeks. And
yes.
And Scott is absolutely on fire right now, and he's getting gigs thrown at him left and right. So it's you're right. It is kind of a little more challenging on our end to schedule between his schedule, Taylor's schedule and my schedule, which are all very swamped. But any free time that we have is completely absorbed with Chemical Fire because we feel so passionate about this project and the songs we wrote. And like Taylor said, you listen back and you're like, what were we thinking? But when you're in the trenches and you're just putting things out there and you're in such a great, healthy, creative environment with fellow creative people, things just come
out. It is healthy. It is a very healthy environment that we create for ourselves.
It's magical. It's addicting.
Yeah.
I've got a question following up on some of that. So when we saw you guys, it was almost a year ago at the Basement East. I mean, you had a full set list. You had, I don't know, 10 songs or something. There were, unless I missed something, they were all originals.
Yep.
So I kind of got the impression, and they sounded pretty polished. So I kind of got the impression these guys already have an album recorded somewhere, and they're just trying to figure out the plan for what to do with it. Yeah, so, but I could be wrong. Is all the stuff that you played, is that more or less in the can, or is that more like trying those songs out, and then now you're in the process of actually recording the stuff that, you know, you like the most, I guess?
It's a little bit of both. It was a little bit of trying them out, and then it was a little bit of, hey, these are songs that are done and in the can. And the ones that are done and in the can, anytime the crowd started singing back the chorus to us at the second chorus, that's when we're like, okay, cool, that's working.
We got something here.
So, you know, we're all about what the people like. We're not too selfish with our music. We like to release things that, of course, we love it first, but if everybody's not resonating with it and feeling it like we do, then maybe we're a little bit off with something, because art is something that, to me, is something that you can't be too selfish with, you know? So if you're giving everybody a good time, you know, watching your film or listening to your music, I think that's key. Because I one of the reasons I love doing it is, yes, I love making music that I like to jam to, and then RJ and I are laughing. And we're like, yeah, look at that riff we wrote, or look at that hook. But the biggest thing to us, I think, and RJ can, you know, say this too, I think we love people so much that we love making people happy with having something that, you know, we can all enjoy together musically, you know. And that's why the energy at Chemical Fire Show is very collective and kind of different, you know.
I have a similar take to that. I think that when we're writing ideas, it comes from a very selfish standpoint. It comes from a very blunt and honest standpoint. But the cool thing is that if we're really feeling something, we know that someone else out there is feeling the same thing. We're not isolated in the way that our minds work and the way that our emotions work. So if we feel really passionately about something that we're talking about, we know inevitably someone's going to latch onto it.
Yeah. So yes, there are songs that are in the can, and we could tell you which ones we are stoked with, and then we could tell you which ones we're kind of testing, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, we definitely can say firsthand that we thoroughly enjoyed seeing you guys live, and we wanted to take a second to thank you, because when we chatted with you the first time, you said you'd be there with open arms if we showed up, and we did, and you did. So,
aww. Oh, well, that means a lot, man. Yeah, y'all, when I saw your faces, I was like, yes, they made it.
I mean, in these infant stages of this band building, the ones that are there to support you when you really don't have a lot, the ones that are doing it out of the goodness of your hearts, you never forget that. And I mean, I can say the same with Hailstorm. A lot of the people that were there for us from the beginning that are still there, we're eternally grateful for that, because we wouldn't be here without it. So thank you guys for all your support too, you know? And and how we were able to reciprocate it is a drop in the bucket compared to what you guys have done for us. So
that's very true. And also, we're going to always, you know, as the band continues to grow, we're going to always have this itch that we're going to always want to scratch.
We're always going to be a little itchy.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. I mean, I'm always a little itchy.
That's probably not
that's
our
a separate
fault.
Conversation.
Yeah, that's not our fault.
That might be lice.
Yeah.
That's a topic for after hours interview.
Aftershave or something.
A topical topic.
Yeah.
And of course, you guys are more than invited to the What About Bob viewing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there. I was going to bring that back up.
I wonder if Disney would be mad at that.
This is kind of outrageous. I just imagine, you know, other bands that a friend of ours is talking. Yeah, man, like, you know, Taylor and RJ have this thing where they kind of watch What About Bob together in a theater. Like, you know, it's just so odd. I love it. Whatever.
I envision you guys like Mystery Science Theatering or like Statler and Waldorfing. Like, the movie's playing and it's just you guys in the front row quoting it loudly to each other the whole time.
That's a great idea. Man.
That's what it would be. I'm pretty positive.
Probably not too far off. We can send you all some videos of that to prove your point.
It's already happened.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah. Well, one other thing that we wanted to make mention real quick is we wanted to shout out Mama Stormer because she after we chatted, she checked out the interview and she went out of her way and emailed us and gave us some, you know, encouragement and that it was so much fun to listen to. And then we got to meet her in Nashville and she was so excited to meet us. And it really meant a lot, that whole thing. So
she is my biggest fan. I mean, I think I can speak for all of our parents. They're our first and foremost biggest fans that we'll ever have. So thankful for that.
Yeah. She's the best, man. She's definitely my second mother. Like I love Mama Hill so much. I was in Nashville in a parking lot of a Planet of Fitness on a Dia's tour recently. And first person I called Mama Hill when I got to town, and she showed up to the parking lot. We hung out, we laughed, came on the bus, and we told some RJ and Taylor jokes. Miss RJ, tried to FaceTime him. I love her so much.
She's always there to help out too. I mean, she was slinging merch for her and my fiance Emily were slinging merch behind the desk, just trying to just make that show go off, you know, without a hitch. So, you know,
and that's the thing is we have so much support from, you know, from everybody, you know, from Mama Hill, Dia, Emily, like everybody. It's so sweet that we have all that support, you know, from our family and everything.
It's really encouraging.
Cool. It is.
Definitely. And we felt special just being there because of all the big heavyweights that were in the audience watching with us. So.
Yeah, I was like, this is a showcase.
Okay. Yeah, like, who's who?
I haven't been to that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just on the very bottom epsilon of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is no big deal. Just us hanging here with Daughtry, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was so sweet of Chris to come out. I remember that. He's watched me grow up for years. And that night he came up to me in our dressing room and he was like, man, I've watched you grow so much. This is it for you, man. He's like, this is where you're supposed to be. And that meant the world to me that he said that.
Yeah.
He's like, Chris, stop it. You're going to make me cry, dude. Get out of the way. Chris.
Yeah.
He's the best.
I have a couple of things, of different paths I actually kind of want to take. For one, RJ quickly slid in there, his fiance. So also congratulations on getting engaged. Since the last time we spoke.
Yes.
So that's a big deal. And then on a more humorous note, Taylor mentioned going to Planet Fitness. I saw not long ago what it definitely appeared to be you mixing songs in Planet Fitness. And I have questions. I need to know what was going on with that.
Yes. And that was in Nebraska. What city? Okay. I have no idea. We had
get
a
that
day
Black
off.
Card membership.
Man, I've been producing a lot. So I love playing rock. And, you know, doing the heavy rock thing and all that stuff. But I've been producing a lot of this resurgence pop punk lately and a lot of alternative music as well. Because, you know, I love it all, right?
Yeah, we love that stuff.
And I had two records to turn in that week. I had the new Messed album to turn in to their label, SBAM, or Spam, whatever they're called. They're called Spam, yeah. And then Thomas Nicholas' new album. So the same label. And I had to turn that stuff in that week because there was revisions and we had no internet on the bus that day. And I saw this beautiful Planet Fitness that was right in front of me. And I thought, all right, I'm going to go for it. So I went in and I had a big smile and I was like, hey, to the front desk. This is odd. I'm a member here, but can I work here today? You know, right there. And they're like, sure, we don't mind. I'm like, okay, I'm a music producer, you know? And they're like, what? And they're like, yeah, I'm going to be setting up some gear. It's going to look a little weird. And they're like, and they just started laughing. And they let me do it. And I just kept, you know, I was like, if y'all need any Starbucks or anything, you know, like, yeah. You know, somebody's doing you a favor. You make sure to grab those receptionists or whoever's working the front desk, anything that they need, because everybody's going to walk in the gym looking to get their pump on and they're going to look at you really weird. And you're just like, hi, you know? And yeah, it was, I'm just glad that, you know, somehow by the grace of God, those albums turned out okay. Because
yes,
I told each band to write in the liners, this album was finished in a Planet Fitness somewhere in Nebraska.
Right. Planet Fitness in the thank you notes, exactly.
And yeah. Internet. And when you're a touring musician, internet is more valuable than gold.
Yes, just like that South Park episode, I was like, can I get some alone time with the internet? No, I'm
sorry. Gotta go out California way.
Yeah, that's a Randy Marsh reference, just yeah. So you guys. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, awesome. I can't believe that worked out. That's the kind of stuff on the road that you can't pay for those kinds of stories, you know?
It's very true. I mean, we both, like, even when I'm touring with Hailstorm, I'm working on Chemical Fire stuff, writing songs, recording, programming drums, or I've actually cut vocals for one of our songs in the back of our bus and then ran into the hotel to use the internet to send it to Taylor. And so, yeah, we're on the go. You know, you just kind of have this constant on the go lifestyle. Yeah.
The best part about that is I remember, like, RJ's not even like halfway fibbing about any of that. Like, I remember, like, I'd be talking on FaceTime with RJ and he's like, yeah, man, just finishing up these vocals. All like, do you like them like this? And, all of a sudden, I see, you know, Josh walk by to grab something out of the bin. He is grabbing his shoes, you know, in the back of the bus. I'm like, oh, cool. You get those Nikes or whatever, you know? And then I see Joe walk by, and I'm like, hey, Joe. You know, hey, guys. You know, I see Lizzie walk by, and I see everybody. I'm like, hey, guys. It's just funny that, like, you know, when you're on the road, like, how space becomes, like, a whole new thing. Like, everybody's, like, in their own world, but, like, the bubble's that big.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to me.
You want to hear a fun little factoid, though? I tracked the vocals for Under Attack in the back of the bus the night before our bus caught on fire.
Oh, wow.
We
really were under attack.
Yeah. Was it a sign? I don't know. But we had a bus fire in Worcester, Massachusetts. Luckily, none of us got hurt. We were all in the hotel. Long story short, we didn't really lose too many things, but the entire bus was just incinerated. Horrifying.
Yeah,
but we're okay. Wow. But yeah, that was the night. Hope it wasn't my fault. Those vocals were just on fire.
RJ, do me a favor, bud. Will you tell me? Will you tell these itch guys about the real quick? Tell the short and quick version about the incident with the coffee with your bus driver.
Oh no.
Well, we only have 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'll try to be short. Basically, my band pulled a prank on me. They filled my water bottle up with vodka in my bunk. So when I took a sip, I was like, oh, I was like, I'm going to get them back. So I filled up a couple bottles of water with vodka and hid them in the case of water, not realizing that our bus driver used the bottled water to make coffee. Oh. So he was like, this coffee, something's wrong with it. And they were like, oh my God, that's vodka. And he was like, no, I could lose my license. And like, again, everything was okay. But still, it's like, I can't pull a prank. I'm like, all right,
he wasn't happy, was he?
That could have been tragic, but we turned out okay.
He wasn't happy, was he, Arj?
He was not happy about that. Nope.
I'm sure.
No, I didn't think so.
Different kind of fire.
But anyways, I thought you guys should know about that story.
Yeah. We did. We appreciate that.
I knew you would.
That's the really short version.
Is the appointment with the vocal coach, is that specifically for like Chemical Fire, or is that also for Hailstorm?
Oh, for everything. I really love singing, and that was a huge incentive for me to really like want to do this band, was the opportunity to sing more. Since it's just the two of us, I mean, Taylor and I are pretty much splitting all the vocal duties, so it's challenging, but it's really fun. And I've just fallen in love with singing. I've been taking vocal lessons for a long time. Thought about doing a singing career at some point. Obviously, with Hailstorm, I'm kind of just stuck to just doing like background vocals and stuff like that. But with Taylor, it's more of a co-singing kind of deal. So it's really it's way more full. It's really fulfilling for me in that department. You know, obviously, like I mean, both projects are fulfilling for me for separate and similar reasons. But one thing that I really love about Chemical Fire is the amount of singing that I get to do.
That's one thing that stood out when we saw you live is just how much singing you were doing, and it was awesome.
Well, I mean, he's pretty much like going the entire time. I mean, like when I'm singing like a chorus or something, he's singing the answer like right away, or like he's, you know what I mean? Like there's the way that we write the songs is like intertwined around, you know, vocals intertwining around each other, you know? So
yeah. And I think that's a really kind of unique thing to our sound. If I can be so modest, but I do love the fact that is something that can set us apart, is having the co-vocals together. And and Taylor was the one that really encouraged me to sing more. 'Cause you know, inside your own head, you're like, am I good? I don't know. You don't know how you are as a singer outside of yourself. So, hearing Taylor's positive feedback and encouragement, it's really pushed me to want to keep getting better.
That was one of the things that I absolutely loved about seeing you guys live, is that not only do both of you guys have commanding stage presence on stage, but it's like you share the you know, the lead of the band. In fact, there was even one song, if I remember correctly, where you kind of swapped duties and RJ came out from behind the drums, which I believe was the first time I'd ever seen that live.
Yeah, that was really fun. And it was nerve-wracking for me because I'm not used to being in that environment. But yeah, like once you kind of catch the itch, you kind of get the bug, and you're like, man, I really love this singing part, because it's I haven't had much of a chance in my career to actually speak the words that I write. You know, I'm always kind of like writing in the lens of someone else singing the words when I'm writing. But with Taylor, that's a whole other level of fulfillment, getting to actually sing the words that come out of you. I think that singers that write the things that they sing, they just have that little extra layer of first person passion behind what they're speaking and what they're singing.
How is it like for both of you? Because I mean, both of you are natural drummers in your other respective bands. So, you know, what's it like coming out in the forefront and being the, you know, the lead person in Chemical Fire?
It's for me, it's, I get to finally express myself exactly how I want to, because when you're stuck behind the kit, you're limited. I love playing drums, obviously, and I love being in my other band, but you're limited to certain energies. You know, when you get to express yourself vocally, it's a whole different deal. And RJ and I write songs that are so honest about what's going on in our entire lives, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, it's really fulfilling. And it's something that we can't believe that we're getting so much support from right off the bat. And it's really mind blowing to us.
Yeah. And it's also fun for me, 'cause, in a usual stage setup, the drums are kind of, you know, upstage in the back center, but with our setup, it's kind of cool being a little bit closer to the audience, so I can, like, when I'm singing my parts, I can really interact with the crowd. That's definitely something that I wasn't really used to, and that's really fun.
Yeah, we have an interesting setup. The side-by-side thing is something that we always wanted to do, and when we finally did it, the first show that we had in LA, we were like, wow, that somehow worked. It was really, really cool.
And thank God Taylor was the one to be on guitar because he's a much better guitar player than I'll ever be. I think that was kind of the deciding factor. It's like, okay, I'll take drums because I am terrible at guitars.
I don't know, RJ. You're one of those guys that if you practice the kazoo, I mean, you'd probably be in the Guinness Book of World Records. You know, like, come
I
on,
can do
man.
Piano. I can do piano if needed, but guitar is like, that's a mad respect to shredders like Taylor.
Yeah, my sister just took a picture of me doing this interview.
Nice.
In the middle of the street on the way to Claudine's. Guys, this is my sister, Sarah, who helped raise me from when I was a little kid when my parents were on tour. This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Hey, Hello. Sarah. Meet are you, you going to Planet Fitness too?
She's not going to Planet Fitness, but she likes Planet Fitness.
I like Planet Fitness.
Sarah is a amazing photographer. She's an actress. She does a lot of modeling. She does a little bit of everything. So she's always like, you know, nonstop on the go. Just taking over LA. I love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
She's someone who's probably about to get followed by the itch because you know, if she's part of your family, then she's part of ours now. So
yeah. You guys should interview her one day. What's it like to be the sister of a crazy brother?
Oh, wait,
and
you
there's
know,
a siren, just in case you guys wanted to hear that. That's
yeah.
We did.
We also forgot to mention that Taylor, as the incredible drummer as he is, there was no way that there wasn't going to be a point where he got behind the kit.
Of course.
And that was really fun doing the duel where I got to put on the tenors and he got to get behind the kit. Like, that was definitely a highlight that a lot of our fans really loved at the show. And that was Absolutely. Something that we just kind of threw together at the last minute. We're like, we got to do something.
Yeah. We were at rehearsal and we were like, dude, let's both play for one, you know? And that was the best moment. That was a fun moment of the show. That was fun.
That was always the MO. It's like, how can we utilize all the strengths that we have? And at the LA show, it just kind of came to me. It's like, we're not utilizing your strength as this insane drummer. Like, you got to show off a little bit behind the kit too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think the LA thing was so quick. That show, we had to put everything together so quick that we were both like, we were forgetting all the details of that one. So we didn't even think, hey, maybe we should both play on
it's
that
funny
one.
But too, that's gonna stick. Like, we both played in front of massive crowds, huge festivals. We've played arenas, amphitheaters in front of massive crowds. And playing in front of like 350 people or whatever
at the Knitting
Factory in LA, we were sweating bullets. We were like, I couldn't believe how insanely nervous we were for that show. You know,
we were literally like, this is a good problem to have. However, you know, we had like Chris Lord Alge coming in the room backstage, like all the Hoobastank guys, all of our friends from over the years. We had like
management,
all these like rad friends of ours in the industry just coming in before the show. Hey man, can't wait to see you guys play. You guys are gonna kill it. And we're thinking, oh my god, why are they all here? And then we see
Mike,
a line
Mike
around
Kronikoff,
the building.
Taylor Connolly,
Tyler Theory, like all these friends of ours. Everybody was there.
It did not help.
And RJ and I looked at each other and we're like, oh my god. And then once our buddy Joel, he's like, hey guys, 1 minute, you guys ready? We were just like, let's go fail and fall flat on our face, or let's crush it. And then Dan from Hoobastank comes back and he said something really important to us that actually shifted the whole thing. Dan was like, dude, if you guys just go up there, like, you know, Dan kind of talks like, dude, whatever. If you guys just go up there and do what you guys have been doing at the rehearsals, like, you know, and just feed off of each other, you're fine. Because we were thinking, how do we do this? If you guys just feed off of each other, you're fine. So then I thought, yeah. That's what we do. We feed off of each other. We love watching each other play. And then I told RJ, we have to watch each other play. And then RJ said, oh yeah, yeah. And like, I don't know what he was thinking about in the moment, but we pulled it off. He's like taking his jacket off while he's supposed to play the drums. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
And then somehow he landed it. He landed it right on.
Yeah. Thank you. Dan is a mountain of wisdom. I will give him that. But
sure is.
You know, we started thinking like, would it be true Chemical Fire fashion for us to do like a secret little practice show just to make sure all the kinks are worked out before? No, like we're going to invite every single heavyweight in the industry. all the people that could make or break our career, and they're all going to watch us fall flat on our asses. But thank God, somehow by the grace of some higher miracle, we actually pulled the show off, and it went strangely well. I live by Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. A lot of moving parts, but some weird reason, everybody pulled their weight. Our entire crew absolutely did their job to the max, and it went off without a hitch. So,
yeah.
Whew, man.
But no, there was a couple hitches, though, that, I mean.
That nobody saw.
Nobody saw, but it was still like, there was still like a couple like, oh my God, moments. Like, the second song, I think I tried something fancy and I totally like I,
you ate shit.
I missed the ground and I ate the stage for a second. Oh, but it was a moment where the strobes, because you know RJ and I don't like to use crazy lighting or anything.
No.
The strobes were off. And so it was pitch dark. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I got up really quickly and then he's recovered. But other than that, like, and nobody saw that. And I was like looking at the audience. I was like looking at people like, are you okay?
Yeah.
But there was no problems.
That's what separates the men from the boys. Yeah. Is when things go wrong, how quickly can you recover and get back to it? And he got right back up, you know?
But God, did that hurt.
I'm sure.
I was like, oh, like, you know, like it really helped some of that heavy singing because I was pissed.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Everybody loved it though. A real human moment.
It went really well. I was in disbelief with how many, and that's the thing. We didn't invite all those people. Like we did invite, we put the word out and we wanted to blow this thing up, but a lot of those industry people, like, they kind of came on their own, and that's why RJ and I were like, uh-oh, like, yeah. Dude, this is, it's here. Like,
it's
you
real.
Know.
Yeah,
this is real. Right. It's real.
So where are we driving to next to see Chemical Fire?
Okay, we have to solidify that as soon as possible. Yes. Because
we may have something coming up in the next couple months. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. We may. And also on the way up there, we may have a string of shows on the way to that one and then a couple on the way back.
Nice.
So you could say it'd be like a little bit of a run.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And we're currently working on that now. So hopefully keep an eye out for announcements. Yes. Hopefully something will come out soon. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And we may figure out how to rent out a theater and do the What About Bob thing.
All right.
I'm all in.
I'm down.
I'm going to wherever that's happening.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Awesome. Well, you're most certainly invited, my friend.
Our opening act, Bob Wiley and Dr. Marvin.
Yeah. And don't forget Gil.
Don't forget Gil.
My sister is totally loving this conversation. She's like, oh yeah, Gil, while she's looking at her phone.
Nice. We'll definitely be on the lookout for that. But also 2024, you guys got a lot of stuff going on other than just with Chemical Fire. Hailstorm's going to be on a big summer tour.
Yep, with I Prevail. Really, really, I love I Prevail. So I'm really, really amped about that.
Yeah, I have to admit, I met Eric on Shiprocked, and I fangirled out. I did.
I love Eric.
He was so nice, and I was just like, oh my God, it's Eric. Like, I was so embarrassed. Like afterwards, I was just like, did I seriously just do that? Like. Oh my God.
I was trying not to fangirl out when I met them in Copenhagen, but it was so funny because you see him upstage, he's ready to punch skulls.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's such a badass on stage, both him and the whole band.
Oh, yeah.
And then they come on stage, he's got his glasses on, his hair tied up, like, hey, nice to meet you.
Right.
You know, they were so cool.
Yeah.
So, funny 360 story about I Prevail, actually. So when we were, you know, Y905 opened for you guys in Nashville.
Yes. Love them.
We fell in love with them as well at that show. We've been following them ever since. They were also on Shiprocked, and we kind of bonded with them again. When I was seeing them on Shiprocked, I was sitting there rocking out, and they were playing a cover of The Offspring, and two people behind me were just like, they were really into it too. And she jumps out off stage and she's getting them to sing. Well, it was Eric and the guitarist from I Prevail. They were just loving the Wynonna Fighter set. So it was really cool to see that.
They're really cool. But hey, I Prevail, if you're watching this, take Chemical Fire out on tour with you. We love you.
There it is.
That happened.
Yes, there it is.
And if anyone's watching, go bug them. Go send them DMs. Go. That would be a dream come true. Let's do it, Taylor.
Chemical Fire, we will tour for a tour.
Yeah.
And then come on the Itch for an interview. Yes.
All the time.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah, you guys, this is a reoccurring thing. We're going to always come hang out with the Itch. It's always going to be a yes, you know?
Nice.
Hey, we can definitely make it a yearly thing. That's not a
problem.
I'm
glad you mentioned that. I have something I want to pitch you on, Taylor. Later on, we'll do it sometime after this. But I have an idea, and I want to throw it past you. So just keep that, lodge it in mind.
Oh, man,
somewhere.
You can't leave me hanging like that.
I can because RJ's got to, well, at least for a second, because RJ's got to go in a minute. So I want to make sure we can get a second with him and say bye. If you want to talk about it after that, we can. But
Well, it's funny. It's funny. Just reach out to me, man, and ask because you know what? My sister, I'm gonna spend some time with her as well. So, and RJ, I hope you have a fantastic vocal session with our friend Corrine and tell her I said hello.
Yeah.
She's the best.
We didn't really get time to talk about the new single, The Drop, but we'll just do that on our own. We'll talk it up for you.
Thank
if you.
You
guys gotta get going. Yeah.
Check out the video on YouTube.
Yeah, there you go. Check out the video, man.
Yes, awesome.
Well, we appreciate you guys every time.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you all for having us again. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. RJ, we got to figure out what we got to do to get backstage when you're in St. Louis during the hailstorm.
Y'all are more than invited. And we don't know anyone else in St. Louis, so our guest list is pretty much wide open. So
all right.
We'll be your official guest in St. Louis.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to see y'all there, man. We'll fangirl out to I Prevail together.
Yeah. All right.
And Hollywood Undead. I'll probably fangirl out to them as well. Sorry.
You do.
All right, you guys. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you both. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you guys for taking the time, man.
Dan, do you have a great closing line ready for us here?
No, I do not. I apologize.
All right.
Still scratching that itch.
Yeah, yes. We'll fix it in post.
Feeling itchy? Call your doctor or watch the itch.
There you go.
I think you guys need like a separate like call and answer show called The Scratch.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
I thought about that. It's a DJ show. That's where we.
There you go. There you go.
It's a DJ. RJ, I got it. It's Eat, Pray, Itch.
There you go. Love
there
it.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, I'm going to put that in the background of my on my room. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make a little sign that looks like an old timey, like, you know, God bless this house. Eat, pray, itch.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right.
Very much,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you, guys.
Always the best time with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. You guys are the best, man. Thank you so much.
Can't wait till the next one. Anytime.
Anytime. Absolutely.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
Have a good
bye-bye.
One.
Bye bye, y'all.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Sweet.
All right. Here we go. So thank you very much for listening to The Itch. My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
And until next time, I ain't gonna stop until I hit the drop.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about The Itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, ITCHROCKS.